The Curved Crew are back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Nine thirty in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our trade deadline preview show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program Jonas Siegel. Jonas is the national hockey writer for the Canadian Press. Jonas, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, no problem. How's it going, guys?
Doing very well. How about you, Jonas? Settling into the new position?
Yeah, it's just it's a fun time of year. It's almost like you're just checking your email and checking your phone constantly to see if something happens, and it seems like every 2 hours something happens.
Well, then let's start along those same lines. You know, we were talking about this earlier in the program. We're, you know, a little bit more than 48 hours away from the deadline. Are you expecting it to be, you know, an especially busy 48 hours, you know, relative to past deadlines? Or do you think that this might be a little bit of a quieter deadline entering into Monday at 2 p.m. Central?
Well, last year, from what I recall, it was a busier deadline than it had been for the previous few years. And this year it's going to be interesting because you look at the market and you wonder, you know, which teams are buying, like how many teams are out there that are going to make trades. And I think it's interesting when you kind of compare leagues. Like, you look at what's happening in the NBA right now, teams are getting smarter. Teams are realizing, you know what, if we can't compete legitimately for a title, why are we going to give up future assets at the trade deadline? And you wonder if we get to that point in the NHL where teams look at themselves and say, you know what, we're happy to get in, but we're not going to trade, you know, draft picks for rental players if we actually can't beat the Blackhawks, if we actually can't beat the Kings, if we're not actually in that, you know, real legitimate conversation. Saying that, there are some teams who could obviously use upgrades. We've seen Chicago make, you know, some trades. You wonder if LA gets a little bit more active. They made a deal yesterday. You wonder if St. Louis gets into it. But I just wonder if there are not enough buyers, you know, to really satisfy a busy trade deadline. But saying that, maybe that drives prices down and other teams simply just get into the mix because they're in the mix.
Jonas, we have a lot of NHL teams that we want to ask you about. We want to start with Toronto, the team that you used to cover for TSN 1050. And the Leafs have obviously been very active already. They've moved out players like Roman Polak and Sean Mathias
and
Nick Spaulding. With 2 days left to go before the trade deadline, how many other players do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to move? Are they going to try to also include the kitchen sink in a possible transaction?
Well, I would say that probably anything is on the table, but they've got, you know, still a few more expiring contracts that I could see playoff teams potentially being interested. P.A. Parenteau obviously, you know, tops that list. He's got 16 goals. He could be, you know, a nice depth forward for a team that needs a little bit more offense. Beyond that, you know, you've got Brad Boyes, you know, you've got Michael Grabner. Like, these are pretty deep depth pieces that maybe the Leafs just take what they can get. You know, we saw last year, I think they got a sixth or a seventh for Olli Jokinen. So maybe stuff like that. But as far as, you know, maybe a Nazem Kadri, a Jake Gardner, I'd be skeptical. You know, I think deals like that, you know, are difficult in some ways to make at the deadline. Maybe they're easier to make in the summer. But it's more those expiring guys. And we've seen them, you know, you mentioned some of the guys that they moved out, Mathias, Polak, Spaulding. This is what they went into last offseason trying to do. They signed a bunch of, you know, veteran players to short-term contracts with the intention of moving them at the deadline. So if they can move Michael Grabner, who doesn't have a point, if I'm not mistaken, since early January, they will. You know, if they can move, you know, someone like Brad Boyes, who's actually been pretty good recently and pretty decent all year in a depth role, they will. So they're in a position where they have assets to sell. It's just going to be whether there's interest in their players at the deadline.
Jonas, do you see Jonathan Drouin being moved before the deadline?
I want to say no, because I'm not sure that there's going to be a team that's going to match the price that Steve Yzerman wants. You know, if I'm Steve Yzerman, And he said this recently. He wants to get something done. Like, he would rather, you know, end this situation, end this cloud that kind of has been hovering over the organization and get it done. But what team is out there that's going to spring for Jonathan Drouin? You know, we've heard some teams, you know, like a St. Louis. But if you're trading for Drouin and you're trading with Tampa, Tampa is going to want, you know, a young player who can help them now back. So I just wonder if there's that type of player-for-player trade in the days and hours leading up to the deadline. I'm not sure, you know, because the upside is there. But if you're a playoff team trading for Jonathan Drouin, you're convinced that he can join your lineup and make a difference for the playoffs. And then you're also parting with an asset on your roster. You know, and Tampa, from what I've heard, you know, wants to improve their power play. I think their power play is one of the worst in the NHL. So if they can get some help there, they can get a young asset that helps them in that respect, maybe they do it. Those deals are hard. You know, I think now leading up to the deadline, it's more those rental type trades that seem to be kind of the moves that teams make.
Jonas Siegel is our guest. Jonas is the national hockey writer for the Canadian Press. Jonas, Eric Staal's got the pedigree, Stanley Cup winner, Olympian, gold medalist, everything under the sun. And he's got that pesky no movement clause, no trade clause, so he controls where he goes, if he goes anywhere. A lot of talk that the only place he'd be consider wanting to go is to the Rangers. Given that what the Rangers have given up in past years, where they've given up Duclair and they've given up draft picks, and they really don't have a ton left that they can offer, is that a trade that the Rangers can go ahead and make, or is that, you know, almost going to be too much of a price to pay for a rental in Eric Staal?
It's a good question, but you look at the Rangers and you look at the core of their roster, and obviously the core starts with Henrik Lundqvist. I believe he's 34. So if you're in it, and like you mentioned, they've made a bunch of moves that suggest in recent years that they are in it, don't you go all in? You know, don't you just continue to try to maximize the window that you have with Henrik Lundqvist and try to win now? Because you look at the Eastern Conference and you look at teams that could legitimately win a cup. And I was going through this with James Myrtle and Chris Johnson the other day. We were picking out teams and saying, like, who can actually win a cup? And the two that we circled in the East were Washington and New York. Like, those are the two teams you look at and say, they could win the cup. So if I'm New York and I have a chance to add Eric Staal and it's going to cost me future assets, and I've already given up a bunch of future assets, I kind of got to do it. Like, if I'm in, I'm in. And I look at, you know, Henrik Lundqvist having another good year. I think they've got to go for it. You know, if they can get Eric Staal, they can add him, obviously, with his brother Mark Staal. They're pretty good on defense. I take that chance. And I think the Hurricanes are really an interesting team to look at the deadline. They've dropped two in a row now. You know, they lost last night at home to Boston. If I'm Ron Francis and I talked to him a couple weeks ago, maybe that's it. You know, maybe that was the tipping point that he needed to confirm that they're sellers and that they're not going to make the playoffs, saying that, you know, they're only a few points back. I think they're a really interesting team to look at the deadline in terms of what they do.
Jonas, you had a really good piece for the Canadian Press about the trade deadline from the GM's perspective, and you had some really good quotes from Jim Nill in there, and you mentioned Scotty Bowman and Ken Holland, obviously two of the best there, and specifically talking about how oftentimes it's tough for the general manager to get the player that they really want and making the right move. When you look at some of the GMs around the NHL, and we were talking about Chuck Fletcher earlier, maybe Chuck Fletcher's the answer to this question, but when you look at some of the teams who are on the cusp of making the playoffs or in danger of missing the playoffs, which NHL GM do you think is feeling the most pressure to do something at the trade deadline?
Well, the guy that comes immediately to mind, Chuck Fletcher's a good one because he just fired his coach, and you know they dropped one last night, and They've kind of got to get in. You know, you wonder what happens. They're 4 points back of Colorado. They could use some help. But the one that comes to mind for me is Nashville, you know, because I look at Nashville, obviously, you know, they're in a playoff position now. They've got the first wild card spot in the West. They made the big deal for Ryan Johansson earlier this year, but they could still use more scoring, and they need to get in. You know, they've had a rough go of it, obviously, in recent years. There's some more pressure on David Poile than I think there has been in the past. He replaced the coach a couple years back with Peter Laviolette, you know, taking over for Barry Trotz. They need help up front. You know, they're one of the lowest scoring teams in terms of their forward group. They get a bunch of offense from their defense. That defense is terrific. But I just think Nashville's a team that has to get in, and beyond getting in, they probably have to win a round. You know, they haven't obviously gone deep in the playoffs, despite being, you know, kind of an annual playoff team. That's one that comes to mind for me. And obviously, you look in Pittsburgh, you know, we've all seen what's gone on with Jim Rutherford. You wonder if they make another move. They just don't have any assets to make a move. But Nashville's really the one that comes to mind for me, just because I think there is some pressure on David Poile to not only get this team in, but actually make a bit of a run, because they haven't, you know, obviously in some time.
Jonas, what do you think happens with Louis Erickson?
That's a tough one. I think that's such a fascinating situation, because you look at Boston and they're in, you know, a playoff spot. They look like they're going to be okay to make the playoffs. Tuukka Rask has bounced back from a really tough start. Brad Marchand's having a terrific year. He's got over 30 goals. Louis Erickson this year has finally kind of become the player that I think they probably thought mm-hmm. they were getting from Dallas when they made that trade for Tyler Seguin. He's been really good. I always used to love watching Louis Erickson in Dallas. Like, I always thought he was kind of underrated. He was big. He could kill penalties. He could score. So what do you do? Like, you try to put yourself in their position. You're a playoff team. Are you going to move a player who helps you in the postseason, who helps your team for future assets? That's a really tough thing for teams to do. And I can bring it back to Toronto a few years ago when they had to decide what they were going to do, you know, with Dion Phaneuf. You know, and this was before they had a contract signed. And this was kind of in the conversation when they were pushing for a playoff spot. And the idea amongst the Leafs management team was, well, how do we trade a player, our captain, who helps us contend for a playoff spot for something down the line, you know, because we can't sign a player. So Boston obviously wants to sign Louis Erickson. If they can't get a deal done, I just don't know how they can hurt their lineup currently by trading him. So if I'm Boston, I don't do it, but I can see kind of the pull, you know, towards making a move, but I wouldn't do it.
Jonas, you look at what's happening in the Western Conference, and the Blackhawks are obviously, they've been the most active team so far in the trade deadline period. They get Ladd, then yesterday they get Weiss and Fleischmann from Montreal. If you're the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks, the Ducks being the best team in hockey since Christmas, the LA Kings, you know, most people thought they were going to run away with the Pacific Division, and they were doing so for a while. If you're the Kings and the Ducks, are you looking at what the Blackhawks did and say, well, it's time for, we need to step up and we need to match them in the arms race?
Well, that was one of the things when I was talking to GMs about the deadline that I was really curious about. If they kind of get dragged into it, where they feel like they're looking around and all the teams are around them are doing things, do they feel like they have to do something? And I do believe that's a real thing. I do believe that when you look at the teams that you're legitimately competing with, to go deep in the playoffs, that there is a pull to do something. Anaheim fascinates me, because I look at that lineup, and you mentioned how good they've been and how patient they were, you know, not to fire Bruce Boudreau when things were not going well. They could use some depth up front. You know, their defense, I think, looks okay, but they could always use some help to that lineup. You know, you've got Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf playing on separate lines right now. I think I look at L.A., and L.A. to me looks pretty good. You know, they made the trade, obviously, for Luke Shen and Vincent LeCavalier earlier in the year. Shen's been okay. LeCavalier's been okay. I think teams like that, they can always use more depth, you know, whether it's up front. Every team seems to be looking for defensemen. There's not a lot of, you know, obviously impact defensemen on the trade market. But Anaheim, to me, if I'm Anaheim, I feel like I've got to kind of make a move. If I'm LA, I think I'm okay. But still, to back to your initial question, I think there's a danger in trying to match what other teams are doing, because you look at Chicago's moves and you look at what they've added. You know, you're not going to be able to add an Andrew Ladd. You look at some of the depth moves with Thomas Fleischmann and Dale Weiss. Those are nice moves, you know, but that's not going to determine whether they win a cup. Those are just kind of pieces that help you along the way. But if I'm Anaheim, I think that's the team that I feel like, you know, maybe they make a move in the next few days.
Jonas, when it comes to the Western Canadian teams, excluding Winnipeg, because they've obviously made their big move trading Andrew Ladd to Chicago, when it comes to Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary, which three of those teams do you think is going to be most active? Because you hear that Peter Chiarelli may move a player like Nail Yakupov or possibly a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Well, I think I look at them and I look at Calgary and I look at what they have, you know, in terms of assets to move. They've got Yuri Hudler. That's only the guy that really, to me, sticks out. Maybe Chris Russell. But I just don't know that they have a lot in terms of quality rentals to move. I think Edmonton is fascinating because what do you do if you're Peter Chiarelli? Like you mentioned Neil Yakupov. We all heard, you know, Todd McClellan earlier this week. We assumed he was talking about Yakupov. We assumed he was talking about Justin Schultz. Do they make kind of those rental-type trades, or do they actually look at, you know, moving a Yakupov, moving a Schultz, moving a key piece, maybe even moving, you know, a piece like Nugent Hopkins or moving a Taylor Hall? You know, we've heard Teddy Purcell's name out there. I think he's a guy that certainly could and probably will move. But I just wonder if now is the right time to move one of those core pieces, because those are big trades. You need. I always feel like if you're going to move one of those core pieces, and obviously there is that push in Edmonton right now, I think you have to be careful. Like you have to be careful not to make that trade in the emotion of the season when you're disappointing. You're the worst team in the Western Conference. You haven't met expectations. I think it's dangerous to move one of those young players in a situation like that. So if I'm Edmonton, I move Purcell. Maybe I look at moving Yakupov. But as far as one of those big core pieces like Everly, like Hall, like Nugent Hopkins, I'd save that to the offseason when I can really, you know, get a full market for someone like that and try to add that impact defenseman that they've kind of been lacking. But I think they're an interesting team at the deadline just because there is that potential to make that big trade. But I just don't look at either of those teams. And Vancouver has more of those rental-type assets. You know, someone like Verbata, obviously Dan Hamhuis is someone who is likely to get moved. But I think Edmonton's kind of interesting to watch in the next couple of days.
I agree with that.
Final question for you, Jonas. You know, we're well immersed in the Jets covering the team all the time. But what's your perspective and what's maybe the league's perspective of the Jets' return for Andrew Ladd?
I think they did well. I don't know how you do better than they did. Like, you get a high potential prospect in Dano. You get a first-round pick. You get a conditional pick. Like, to me, that's pretty good. You know, it allows you to get an asset that potentially starts to help you now and in the future. You get a first-round pick. You've got a hit on that. For high-impact rental players, I think a high prospect, good first-round pick. To me, that's a good return. I think they did well, and I think the consensus is both teams kind of won that trade. They got what they needed to get. You know, Chicago obviously gets someone in Andrew Ladd who they can plug in on their top line. Suddenly their top line looks like Andrew Ladd, Jonathan Toews, and Marian Hossa when he gets healthy. You add that to Patrick Kane, Artem Anisimov, and Panarin, and suddenly you've got a really good top 6-4 group. But for Winnipeg, I think they did fine. You know, I think it was a difficult situation. Obviously, you guys know better than I that they probably would have liked to have signed him, couldn't agree on a contract. I think it's better for them, to be honest, in my opinion, that they didn't sign him long-term because of the age factor. I think this gives them a chance to kind of start rebuilding with young assets while still being a contending team. I think they'll come back next year and be in contention for a playoff spot next year, even without Andrew Ladd. So I think it was a good move for both teams.
Jonas Siegel covers the NHL for the Canadian Press. He's their national hockey writer. Jonas, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal
my
Curve
pleasure,
Hockey
boys.
Show. Take care, Jonas.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jonas.
Absolutely, Jonas. Take care. Let's head to break. You're listening to an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
I'm ready for you. Big thanks to Jonas Siegel for joining us, national hockey writer for the Canadian Press. In case you missed any of it, it'll be available for download on iTunes and on TSN1290.ca, and of course on our website, illegalcurve.com. Illegal Curve is thrilled to be participating in the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life. Join IC on June the 5th in raising money for the Riverview Health Center's Alzheimer and Dementia Awards by cycling in the event or contributing to Team Illegal Curve. For more information about the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life or to join Team Illegal Curve, visit rhcf.mb.ca or send us a tweet at Illegal Curve for more information.
The Pacific Division.
We continue our team-by-team, division-by-division preview ahead of Monday's NHL trade deadline. We continue with the Pacific Division. We touched on the teams that are in the playoffs. We touched on the Arizona Coyotes and Mikhail Bodker. That leaves the three Western Canadian teams that are looking to make some deals ahead of Monday. All three teams, the Flames, the Canucks, and the Oilers, have assets that will probably leave their respective teams. The Canucks, Radim Vrbata and Dan Hamhuis, they're the big names. In Calgary, Yuri Hudler and Chris Russell are the big names. And then in Edmonton, well, it's another year in Edmonton that's an absolute gong show. We saw with Todd McClellan and his comments earlier this week. You know, how do you see the three Western Canadian teams playing out between now and Monday's trade deadline?
I agree with Jonas Siegel. I think all three of these teams are pretty fascinating to watch right now. And when you talk about Yuri Hudler and Chris Russell, Drew, and Calgary, you're talking about two players that were a huge part of their Stanley, their playoff run last year. Especially Yuri Hudler centering that, being on that top line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau.
He was top 10 in points last year in the NHL.
He had 75, 80 points, whatever it was last year, but his contract is expiring, as is Chris Russell's. If you're a team right now that is looking for some scoring, and when you're talking about Chris Russell, you're talking more of a stay-at-home defenseman. Excellent defenseman, blocks a lot of shots. We all know that he does all of those great things defensively, Rich. But if you're a team that is in need of a defenseman, whether that's a Dallas or whether that's maybe a Pittsburgh or maybe a Detroit, I mean, I don't think Hudler and Russell have been talked about enough. Like I know Andrew Ladd has been the focus a lot of the trade bait board and Eric Staal and Louis Erickson, but what about Yuri Hudler? I mean, maybe Detroit wants to, you know, solidify their scoring depth and bring Hudler back to Detroit. There are a lot of teams that I think would be interested in a Yuri Hudler, but what are you going to have to give up? Is he going to be a rental, or are you going to acquire him with the intention of signing him to a 2 or 3 year deal? I would expect it probably to be a rental, but again, Calgary, those two players are going to be interesting to watch, Rich. And then when you talk about Edmonton, Edmonton might get the first overall pick again this year, guys.
Just shoot me in the head instead. How about you just shoot me in the head?
I thought you'd just say that every time you do radio with me, Drew. But when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, Daniil Yakupov and or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins fit in there, Rich, when you consider the glut of good centers. Like, the future of the Oilers up the middle is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Right, so when you're talking about a Neil Yakupov, well, maybe you can get a first rounder for Neil Yakupov. Maybe you can get a defenseman if you package him.
That's
help
what you
him
need
up.
To do. You need to get a defenseman,
right? And Justin Schultz could be on the move. I would expect Justin Schultz and Teddy Purcell to both be traded.
Sure, well, they're both UFAs. Yeah,
right. So I don't think those guys are sticking around. When you talk about Vancouver, we know has kind of had a bit of a quiet year. I don't think anybody expected Vancouver to tear the NHL up. But when you're talking about Vancouver, Rich, you're talking about most likely they're going to move Dan Hamhuis.
He's got a trade, no move.
Hamhuis has to consent to that. Vrbata, though, is someone who I think will get moved.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
Hamhuis, they want to move. I would assume they want to move, but he's from the area and he might not want to move.
And again, Vrbata. I mean, that's what I'm saying, guys. I think there's going to be a lot of trades before
this
trade deadline. I think there's going to be more than 24. I mean, you talk about Vrbata, Hudler, Russell, Hamhuis, Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov. I mean,
I don't know about Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov being traded before the deadline. I do think all the other guys you mentioned will be dealt.
Right, and I didn't mean to say that all these guys are going to get moved. Yeah. I meant to say there's a strong possibility, maybe not strong, that these guys are in play. Yeah. And if you're Peter Chiarelli, do you wait maybe? Jonas Siegel mentioned that. Do you wait till the draft? There's a good chance they do. Because if you want to move Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets you a top two defenseman. I really do.
I agree with you.
I think Nugent-Hopkins is a guy that a lot of teams would look at and say, okay, the Oilers have got a lot of young players here. They want to move Nugent-Hopkins? we'll give you a defenseman for Nugent Hopkins. Absolutely. So maybe they don't trade a Nugent Hopkins or a Yakupov, but I certainly think guys like Rich mentioned, Verbata, Hudler, Russell, these guys will probably move.
All the pending UFAs should go. I mean, Hamhuis, of course, you know, has to consent to going, but to your point about Yakupov and everybody else, I think they probably wait till the deadline, till the draft or so, when there's 30 teams that are really in the bidding for those guys at this point in time. But it'll be interesting. The Western Canadian cities, specifically Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, will be places to watch on Monday with the trade deadline.
Well, Drew, I know we got to go to break here because it was a quick segment. But I mean, if you're a Vancouver fan or Calgary or Edmonton, I mean, this is the time of year that you finally get to say, okay, this is now we get to see, you know, what we're going to get in the future, because it's been a pretty long. Especially in Edmonton with Connor McDavid being injured for 3 months. And you know, Vancouver's kind of been a middling team. They really haven't done anything.
Right.
They made the playoffs last year, but then they lost in the first round. And then when it comes to Calgary, I mean, this has just been a pretty boring year for them.
Sure.
So this is the time of year where you get to
possibly
see
so
guys
well
moved.
Last year, and it was so unexpected that this year is a bit of a disappointment. Quickly, right before, are you surprised that the Canucks gave up on Hunter Shinkarik so quickly?
Don't know anything about him, Drew. So I can't really say there. I know they had some. I'm not shocked. I mean, Jim Benning is.
Well, I think the tie there is John Weisbrod was the general manager in Calgary when they drafted Marcus Granlund, and they passed over Hunter Shinkarik. I think it was 3 or 4 times in that first round that they had the opportunity to draft Shinkarik, and they passed up on him time and time and time again.
I'm not that surprised, and I'll tell you why. I think Shinkarik is still a decent prospect in the NHL. Played for the Medicine Hat Tigers. And when you talk about Shinkarik, smaller guy, but tons of offensive potential. But when you look at who Vancouver has, the young players they have, so you're talking about Jake Virtanen, Jared McCann, Bo Horvat. These are the guys that are going to be the future of this team. And I think Shinkarik didn't really fit into the plans, going into next season. So not that surprised. And, you know, Marcus Granlund's a pretty good player too. So, Shinkarik, I think, he'll get a change of scenery there, which will hopefully help him in the future.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we shift our attention to the Eastern Conference. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our trade deadline preview show on TSN 1290.
Listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew, Ezra, and Richard return on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Hour number 3 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Trade deadline preview show. To the surprise of no one, we were talking about delis off air, so it's only fitting that this segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com.
I got a funny story. I know Drew, you want to talk about your curling shot last night, but... A funny story about that.
For the record, I was quite prepared to talk about my curling shot off air, but you guys are the ones who wanted to bring it up on air.
So we're on the trip, and as he pulls out a muffin. And
when you're on radio, you want to have a mouthful of muffin.
So our friend Aaron from Bernstein's Deli, he's on the trip as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as he's as he and Aaron are both on the trip, and there was a guy on the trip, Mike, who's confusing the two of them. So at one point we're out for lunch, and Mike says to Ezzy, "So I mean, how often do you guys make corned beef hash?" And like, Ezzy didn't put together that he was
confusing
speaking about Aaron. He's like, "I mean, I don't make it very often. I just go to the Bernstein's for it." And he's like, "Oh, you're Ezzy."
He confused the two. Well, that sort of comes full circle, because your uncle, Richard, is listening in Costa Rica, and he always confuses me with Aaron from Bernstein's Deli. So, you know, we've been able to square
Drew.
Circle.
Shout out to Uncle Yossel. By the way, you guys have to try one of these muffins. They're delicious.
What's in it?
It's banana, apple, and there's some frosting on the
good.
Top.
Yeah,
it's
and a little pinch of love.
There is a little bit of a pinch of love. Try one, or I'm going to eat all of them. But on that topic,
the curling
are there people actually out there that haven't had an Illegal Curve sandwich?
I know. Come on.
Like, if you haven't had one yet, I mean, I'm telling you, go right now. Stop what you're doing. If you're at IKEA or wherever you are, if you're shopping, you know, maybe paint, doing some painting or some work around the house, stop right now.
Uh-huh.
Head to Bernstein's. Go get one. Tell them Ezzy sent you. Even, you know what? I'll pay for it.
Wow. Just go there. Don't get crazy.
I'll buy you a sandwich.
Ezzy, retract that immediately.
I'm serious. Put it on my tab.
You don't have a tab. Nobody's willing to extend you any credit whatsoever.
So what about the curling shot before we get to
the curling shot? Well, win, lose, or drew, we're engaged in a very tight matchup last night. It was tied heading into the final end. And, you know, we don't have the hammer coming home, so skip stones, and there's rocks, tons of rocks in play. So I have to make an angle raise in order to get us to shot rock, and I release the shot.
I have no clue about anything you just said. Okay. No clue. Anyways.
So
is this Vic Router or Ray Turnbull?
So I try the angle raise. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit inside, so I screw up the shot. But there's a rock sitting out in the 12 foot that the shot I threw ricochets off of and ends up covering the entire button and is frozen onto the opponent's shot. I'm shot rock behind cover. Perfect fluke shot. Never before will you get a better fluke shot than that. Win, loser, drew ends up winning by a 6-5 margin last night.
So, like, congratulations,
by the way. Yeah.
So was this like your Jennifer Jones type of moment when she had that great shot?
Except she deliberately tried to do the great shot. I did the – it was very similar, except that I screwed it up, but it went well.
Well, I'm glad that you guys won and didn't drew.
The Atlantic Division.
Continuing our trade deadline preview with the Atlantic Division, we start with the Florida Panthers. They are unexpectedly in the top spot in the Atlantic Division. They've had a great year. You guys saw them in person in Miami last week. And they're here on Tuesday night.
Yep. Shout out to our boy Stevie Warrior, who took care of us. Had a great time down there.
So this Panthers team, I mean, they're 3 points up on the Lightning and the Bruins. Didn't expect to be anywhere near here. Are they contenders? Are they a team that would try and add an asset? We had heard that maybe they would be interested in Andrew Ladd. They obviously didn't end up pulling a trigger there. You know, what are the Panthers? Obviously, they're a team on the rise, but are they on a team that's going to use draft picks or use assets to improve right now?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Drew. You look at the squad and you have injuries there where... Does that change your perspective on things? You know, does the fact that Jonathan Huberdeau just got hurt, is that an issue? Is that going to change your perspective? Probably not. You get Barkov back and Gudbrandsson's back in the lineup. I would say, I mean, you're first place in the division, and you got Roberto Luongo in net.
Yeah.
So I would say they're buyers. I don't think they're going to mortgage the future to make a run here, but I mean trade big-time draft picks, but I could see them trading, you know, lower-end picks to kind of fill out the roster and give them more depth down the stretch here.
Yeah, and Florida's leading the division, but Tampa's not that far behind.
They're not.
Tampa's been slowly inching up. At one point, I think Florida was 10 points, but maybe even more than that, up on Tampa.
But we would have thought they would have faded more by now, no?
No, you're right. I mean, hey, we had Brian Engblom on NHL This Week 2 weeks ago, and he was saying that Florida not only has been the most surprising team for him, but he was saying he thinks they're the real deal. And, you know, Richie mentions Roberto Luongo. I mean, I think Roberto Luongo has to be in the Vezina talk. Absolutely.
I 100% agree with you.
He's been unbelievable.
Holpe's going to win it.
Holpe's going to win it.
Luongo should be in there.
I think Corey Schneider is probably going to be someone who's given some consideration. But point being, I mean, Luongo has reemerged himself as a top five goalie. I really believe that. And I mean, this is a Hall of Famer in my opinion.
He is, yeah.
So you're talking about a team that is really strong. Aaron Ekblad, you know, is better than he was last year as a 20-year-old.
That's right.
And, you know, you talk about Jágr. Jágr's leading the team in scoring. I agree with Rich. I think if they're going to make a move, it's going to be moving a guy like Quentin Howden, who's a Manitoba boy, or possibly a Rocco Grimaldi, or maybe someone who's, you know, a younger prospect in the system. You know, both those guys are in their early 20s. Maybe, as Rich mentioned, they move a second or third rounder.
Yeah, like you're not
Are they going to move a first rounder, for example, to really improve, you know, their forward depth or their D depth? I would expect them to probably hang on to their first-round pick. But, I mean, it is a team. Again, you talk about, like, does Dale Tallon believe that if they get out of the first round, they can really go the whole way. Maybe he does. I mean, you look at the team, and you got a lot of really good players there. You know, Barkov coming back from injury. And, you know, we talked about Yager, who's been one of the major storylines of the season, you know, leading the team in scoring at 44 years old. I still think that there are other teams in the East that they don't match up well against.
That's fair. Right now they're playing Detroit. If the playoffs start today, and then they would play the winner of Tampa Bay and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the East is not dominant.
Remember last year, Richie, when Mike Babcock was still there, Detroit gave Tampa Bay a really good run for their money.
They're up
so
3-1.
If you're Florida and you're about to play Detroit and Peter Mrazek has the ability to steal a series, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a good matchup, I don't think, for Florida. But
hold on. But
it's a good team.
But look at what happens if Boston trades Erickson, Detroit... Detroit's in the Atlantic, right? I always mix this up.
Yes, they're in the Atlantic.
Okay, Detroit passes Boston, then Boston drops down there. Sorry, I these new divisions still throw me off. Detroit,
just consider it the fourth East.
Okay. Detroit passes Boston. Boston without an Erickson and their defense, as you, I mean, you're looking at, I think, a better matchup.
Sure.
So I see them adding, but not selling the farm.
And I just want to mention something, Drew. Like guys like Vincent Trocheck and Riley Smith, this is a good team. Talk about like mm-hmm. GMs that deserve a lot of credit for the way they've put together their teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are good players, and Dale Tallon has done an awesome job there in Florida. I mean, he was the one who acquired Jaromir Jagr from the Devils, right? I mean, that was a very, very good move, and I think he doesn't get enough credit. And, you know, you look at the bottom lines, guys like Sean Thornton. I mean, if they were serious about a cup run, I think they would acquire depth forwards.
They just re-signed Sean Thornton.
Right, but I mean, you know, Sean Thornton, know. You know, all due respect, good.
Years old.
Yeah, he. I mean, he's in the last few years of his career here, and I just don't know if he's as effective as he used to be. So I would expect the Florida Panthers, if they do make a move, it would probably be for a defenseman.
What about Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay signed, Braden Coburn to a 3-year contract extension yesterday, $3.7 million per season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a team, they came out, I don't know, was it 3 weeks ago, a month ago, to say that they're not trading Steven Stamkos. So,
it's been a very weird year.
Yeah, it's been a very weird year. But doesn't this make the Lightning buyers? Don't they have to be buyers?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're obviously going for it. You're not trading Stamkos. Problem is they only have just over $1.5 million in cap room entering into Monday.
What are you looking to do here? I mean, and you look at their roster up front and you say what was a strength before. I still think it is a strength, but you... Like, dude, I don't think they have any massive hole in their roster. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And I look at it. I look at this team. I don't think there is a massive hole in the roster. Do they want to maybe add another scoring forward? Yeah, I could see that. I don't know how necessary it is, but I could see them wanting to do that. You look at the back end. I mean, you mentioned the Coburn re-signing.
Garrison out of the lineup right now.
Yeah, I mean, do you want a defenseman on the back end that is a little more proficient defensively? Maybe. But what are you giving up to get it? So mm-hmm. and you have to keep in mind that this Drouin issue, I mean, the Drouin is, I guess that's the wild card. What does Drouin lead you to? That's why I think, like, Drouin, as you mentioned earlier, like, Drouin, Anaheim, you know, idea of moving back a younger defenseman to Tampa, that makes a lot of sense to me. But I'm not so sure the Drouin deal gets done. And if it doesn't, I don't think they're going to use a lot of pieces here, because you have to keep in mind, you're not going to trade a bunch of pieces if you think you're going to lose Stamkos. And they probably have to think that at this point. And if you're going to be trading Drouin, that's two top talent. I mean, it's not the same class by any means. But Stamkos and Drouin, two top-end forward talents, are going out your roster. You're not going to suddenly sell other, you know, prospects, younger players, or draft picks when you're going to have to deal with not having those guys. Now, again, for Drouin, you're going to get something back. But still... I think they probably sit still. You mentioned the cap, which is also an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Drouin's their biggest piece. So I'll say this. If you don't get what you want for Drouin, I don't think Yzerman's a guy to panic and make his move. But if it's close enough to what he wants, considering the situation right now, he might make the move.
I really think Tampa Bay, there's a good chance that they're pretty quiet. But I'll say this. You know, Richie talks about Steven Stamkos, who obviously isn't moving. By the way, Steven Stamkos has been phenomenal since Steve Yzerman came out and said that he wasn't trading him. I think he's got 8 points in 7 games, something like that. He had a goal and an assist last night, and, you know, he's been phenomenal. The triplets line, Palat, Johnson, and Kucherov, have struggled compared to last year,
for
but
sure.
They've started to come on a little bit. you know, Killorn, Callahan, and Stamkos is still a very solid line. And then, you know, you go down the lineup and, you know, you've got solid players like Filppula, Cedric Paquette, Marchessault. I think, to Richie's point, if Tampa Bay is going to make a move, it is going to be for a defenseman. And I look at guys like Dan Hamhuis and Chris Russell as being good fits. But do they want to give up prospects and high draft picks to get a Chris Russell or a Dan Hamhuis? But for me, I would look at my roster. If I'm Steve Yzerman, I'm kind of looking at that defense, especially without Jason Garrison. And, you know, Andre Schuster, you know, has been kind of hot and cold this year. You know, he's a young defenseman that struggled at times for Tampa Bay. So I would look at Tampa Bay possibly trying to get a top four defenseman or a depth defenseman. But I don't know if they're going to dangle prospects and a first-round pick necessarily to try to get a top six forward, for example. So it's probably defense that I'd be looking at.
Let's do Boston before we go to break. Louis Erickson, of course, an unrestricted free agent talk that they're trying to re-sign him between now and Monday. Not sure how close that is to coming to fruition, if at all. If they don't sign him, if it's not going to happen, is Boston a team that's okay with losing an asset for nothing?
I don't see how you can be. You're not a legitimate Stanley Cup threat, Drew, with that defense. So I think you're fooling yourself. You trade Erickson if you cannot sign him. And I think Erickson gets you exactly what Andrew Ladd got. Erickson's a very good player. And he's versatile, and he's good two ways, and he can shoot the puck, and he can skate. There's a lot of good things about Louis Erickson. He'd be a great player on basically every team that gets him. Like, I don't think there's an issue with fit there, to me. So you trade him. And you trade him, and you try and get defense prospects. You try and get a defense prospect and a draft pick.
And, Richie, if you're in Anaheim or in L.A. that at times have struggled to score goals, and you think about Louis Erickson, like 2014, they go out and they acquire Marian Gaborik, who had struggled all year. And Erickson hasn't struggled this year. He's been good for Boston.
Been good, yeah.
But if you're kind of trying to set yourself and put yourself over the top, I would definitely acquire a Louis Erickson. And the price has to be right. But or St. Louis, for example, who's also had some injuries and trouble scoring goals this year. You know, you have some young prospects in the system. Maybe you dangle those, you know, in front of Don Sweeney. So I think Erickson is probably going to be the most highly sought after free agent, with the exception of maybe Eric Staal. So I agree with Rich. I mean, you can't lose him. He's too good of a player not to get something in return. Boston had three first round picks last year, and you know, I agree with you, Richie. I mean, this is a team that's got to. I know you don't want to say rebuild with the Boston Bruins, but when you consider Chara's age and Dennis Seidenberg's age, that defense was the staple of that 2011 Cup team. They got to start thinking about rebuilding. And, you know, if you're not going to sign Erickson because you're going to have to use that money for other players, you know, get some pieces, some young pieces in return.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Detroit Red Wings, the Senators, the Habs, the Sabres, and the Leafs. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's the IC Trade Deadline Preview Show on TSN 1290.
The Curve Crew are back. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Minutes past 10 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. It's Dave Coulier weekend here at Rumors Comedy Club. He's in town, of course, for House, that debuted on Netflix again. So a lot of reminiscing from our childhood and, of course, reminiscing from when we played hockey with Dave Coulier on Richard's birthday. What year, Richard?
Well, that was
2001.
Yeah.
15 years ago?
We're old.
Yeah, we're old is right. Anyways, Dave Coulier at Rumors. Tickets all sold out.
It was 2002, I think.
We're still old. 14 years ago.
So, Drew, is your house a full house or a fuller house?
My house would be a fuller house, I guess, right now. It used to be a full house when it was just me and Laura and the dog. Now it's Aaron's there, so it's a fuller house.
Brixton is your Comet.
Brixton would be my Comet. Yep. Yes, that's a fair point. I don't have twins, though, so that doesn't really work with Mary-Kate and Ashley. But Aaron's, you know.
Who would be your Kimmy Gibbler?
You. I think clearly you, because I would never want you to take your shoes off in my house. You know, put your shoes back on, Kimmy Gibbler.
You got it, dude.
Yeah, there you go. And just announced, coming to Rumors later on this year, coming up in the next couple months, Steve-O from Jackass will make his return to Rumors. Hey. Tickets available at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Did I tell you I ran into the Fonz?
You did. Well, you didn't tell us, but we all saw the picture. So why don't you tell that story? Because he's the Fonz.
Well, we're at the airport in Fort Lauderdale, and Richie notices that the Fonz is sitting kind of, you know, to the left of us, waiting in the other gate. We're basically 100 feet apart.
I have to interrupt right now. First of all, did you call him the Fonz, or did you say you're Henry Winkler?
First off, I called him Mr. Fonz. I just went up to him, and I at first was kind of thought Richie was pulling my leg, because that's what Richie does. And when I went up to him, I went with our friend Neil, who we were in Florida for the bachelor party. How it was his bachelor party.
Neil was so nervous.
He got his picture taken, but he mentioned that he had just been in Winnipeg, and one of his favorite restaurants was Deer and Almond.
Sure.
It's a good restaurant in the Exchange District, and he had really good things to say about Winnipeg. Really nice guy. Super handsome, not as handsome as you, Drew, but you know, it was really, really cool to meet the Fonz. I mean, it's the Fonz. Ayo.
Where was he going? the show just jumped the shark, so I mean, that's perfect. Do you know where the Fonz was going?
He was going back to L.A.
Oh, okay. LA,
yeah. I'm going to hang out with him in Venice Beach next month.
Let's continue.
We're good buddies
on.
Now.
Let's continue on with the Atlantic Division. The Detroit Red Wings are in a playoff spot and probably will be for the remainder of the season, would be my prognostication. They're in the first wild card spot. Don't have a ton of cap space, a little more than $1.5 million. Sort of just going about their business. Are they a buyer? Are they a seller?
I don't think they're anything, Drew.
Yeah, they're just a quiet team that's going to be a playoff team?
Yeah, they'll ride the wave here and they'll see what they can do. I think they can beat anybody or lose in the first round, kind of similar to last year, as you mentioned, the tough battle. They arguably should beat Tampa last year. But I'll say this. If you remember the trade Ken Holland made last year for Eric Cole, nothing like that again. He overpaid. And I don't see him selling much for a rental here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I agree with you, Rich, but when I look at Detroit, and I like the makeup of their team. It's a highly skilled team, and Mike Green and Brad Richards were their big free agent signings, and you know, they've been pretty good. I mean, they're not going to be the players they once were, especially Brad Richards. I mean, Brad Richards is not you know, a 100-point player anymore, but I still think that they might make a move. And you know, we talked about Yuri Hudler earlier, and this is a team that, you know, is got a ton of offensive-minded players, but you wonder if they want to acquire someone to separate themselves a little bit from the pack and really make themselves competitive with teams like Washington and the Rangers. I think the two top teams going into the playoffs, and not just standings-wise, are the Washington Capitals and the Rangers, and we're going to talk about them when we do the Metropolitan Division, but I think the Rangers are a team, too, that I think are absolutely going to make a move, but it's tough to tell what Ken Holland is going to do, because Rich mentions Eric Cole. That obviously wasn't a good move, Eric Cole at the end of his career. But this Red Wings team, you know, they haven't done much in the way of trades, so you wonder if they're going to make a move just because they've been so quiet for so long. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It could be a forward. It could be a defenseman. As we've talked about, there's a few good, solid defensemen out there, Dan Hamm, Hughes, Chris Russell. So I don't know if they think that those players are worth trading a draft pick for.
Sure.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they make one of those moves.
The bottom four teams in the Atlantic Division, the Senators, the Habs, the Sabres, and the Leafs, with the exception of the Senators, they've all made some trades so far. The Habs shipped out Dale Weiss and Thomas Fleischman. The Sabres shipped out Mike Weber. The Leafs shipped out Sean Matthias, Roman Polak, and Nick Spaulding. We know that pretty much everybody on the Leafs is available if you want to call and talk to them
anybody
about it.
Anybody with a pulse, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, Morgan Riley would take a, you know,
that's about it.
A ransom.
Gardner's probably available.
Yeah. The Sabres, Jamie McGinn. You know, do you need Carlo Koliakovo as a real depth defenseman there?
Mike Weber was already traded.
Right. Mike Weber was already traded to Washington. Lars Eller in Montreal, still rumored to be on the block. Of those four teams at the bottom of the Atlantic Division, who do you see being the most active between now and Saturday?
I was just going to say, I wonder if Colorado would acquire Jamie McGinn. That's where he started his career. Yeah, just throwing that out there.
I mean, nobody here at Val. I mean, I guess P.A. Parenteau, everybody's talking about him as if he's in a second coming of Wayne Gretzky. The guy's, I mean, come on. That's the guy who I'm not banking on any clutch moment. He can shoot the puck, but he's flaky for me. So they just sign a bunch of guys nobody wanted, and now we're talking him up in the media for 6 months, and people are naive enough to buy into what they're to what the Leafs have been selling in this little plan that they have, then that's fine. But Grabner, Parent, Arcabell, I'm not giving up anything of substance for any of those guys. James Reimer is somebody I could see moving to a team that might want a guy who can fill out their, you know, goaltending. Maybe it's, you know, we talked about San Jose earlier. I mean, there's just cap stuff that has to work there. So maybe James Reimer. Buffalo, they don't have much either. I mean, as he mentions, you both mentioned McGinn. I think McGinn would be somebody who will move. You know, you heard Tim Murray earlier this year say they'd like to sign him, but they couldn't really make progress. So I think McGinn would be a helpful player to a team playing their third line. But I don't know if, I guess while I go through it, Drew, I don't think there's one team more than the next that's going to be more active. I mean, there's a guy or two on each team. Maybe the Leafs will be more active, but they have very little value to trade.
Sure, they might trade more players, right, but they're all worth 5, 6, 7 round picks.
I think McGinn has the most practical value to teams. I don't think Ottawa makes any moves, because I think Ottawa still believes, whether you disagree or agree or disagree, I think Ottawa still believes they have a shot here. They're 4 points back at the playoffs, even though Pittsburgh is 3 games in hand.
Well, if Ottawa goes on another run or something like that.
But that's kind of, I think, their mindset is. So I don't see them moving anybody. And Chris Neal wants to finish his career there. They have no other pending UFAs. So.
Yeah, and there was talk that maybe Phillips, the Senators would move Cody Ceci. He's been excellent this year.
Why would they move him?
I that's what I said a couple of weeks ago, Rich. They've already made their trade. I mean, they acquired Dion Phaneuf.
That's true.
I agree with Rich. I do think Ottawa is looking at this and saying, okay, well, you know, we're a few points behind here. I don't know what it is, 3 or 4 points.
4 points.
4 points.
Behind the playoffs right now.
But with three other teams in hand for Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Right.
3 games in hand for Pittsburgh, right, and 3 teams between Ottawa and Pittsburgh.
I mean, it's not realistic,
right,
at all.
And so it's going to be tough for them to get in, but I still think they're going to try to get in. And, you know, with all the young players on the roster, whether it's a Mika Zibanejad, you know, a Mark Stone, a Curtis Lazar, these are key pieces for them going forward. I don't know if they want to move these pieces right now. I mean, they're obviously not going to make a move to acquire a defenseman. I mean, they're set with Erik Karlsson and Mark Methot and Phaneuf and CeCe. I mean, I think this team is set up nicely going forward. I still think they're lacking an elite scorer, Rich. Like Bobby Ryan, you know, Kyle Turris. They obviously traded Milan Mihalik to Toronto. I mean, this is a solid team, but I don't know if guys like Zibanejad and Stone and Lazar, if these guys are ever going to be like 90, 100-point guys. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what the Ottawa Senators have to be looking at, in, more so in the offseason. Do they want to move a younger player and possibly a couple of younger players, you know, to go after and make a big move? Because since they traded Jason Spezza, they just haven't had an elite forward. And they made the playoffs last year, and they did a great job. And I'm not bad-mouthing the Senators. I think they've got a lot of good pieces. But I think they have a lot of kind of 50-60-point forwards, and especially in that Eastern Conference.
Probably 40-50-point guys, really.
Yeah. And you know, they're going to get a fairly high first-round draft pick, especially, you know, if they fall a little bit off here. But
one thing to note is that MacArthur's coming back, too. So is that their trade deadline acquisition? Like, I don't know,
right,
if they look at it that way.
Sure. Let's head to break. When we come back, we have one more division to do. That's the Metropolitan Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
Like, if the Ottawa...
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew, Ezra, and Richard return on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Twenty-five minutes before the top of the hour, Hustler and Lawless follow us here on TSN 1290. Then Rick Ralph in the pregame show, and of course Jets Penguins 2 p.m. puck drop. You can listen to the game here on TSN 1290. Monday, a special Monday trade deadline edition of NHL This Week. We'll be on 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. recapping everything that happened in the world of trades in the NHL on Monday. Rich, of course, will be on in the midday hours with Mr. Rick Ralph covering the trades as it really heats up prior to the 2 p.m. Central trade deadline hour.
You know, Drew, we're going to have to make sure that we have lots of coffee, Red Bull, orange juice for Richie. He's going to be on air for a long time. You know how Richie is. He's a prima donna. He needs to have his little Danish with him. before he goes on air. So we have to make sure that we have a lot of caffeine for Rich with all those trades happening.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Otherwise, it's going to be a long 3 hours.
Well, I'm on with Hustler, too.
Oh, you're on with Hustler, too. There you go. No rest for the wicked.
That's right.
There you go.
Looking forward to it.
There you go. It should be fun. It always is one of the more fun days on the NHL calendar, the trade deadline coming up on Monday. We move on with our final division. It's the Metropolitan Division.
The Metropolitan Division.
The dulcet tones of producer Rory.
And Rory got in, I don't know if you noticed that, you probably wouldn't, but that's a Beastie Boys instrumental.
Ah.
Because Rory knows I love the Beastie Boys.
There you go. Rory's always looking out for you. That's
Rory's
right.
Doing an excellent job. I don't know what you're doing here, Drew. You're doing a horrible job of hosting. Let's go.
I'm dead weight like I always am. This is pretty much
bring on fake Drew.
Yeah. Washington Capitals. They are the runaway best team in the Eastern Conference. They're the runaway best team points-wise in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
94 points, 45 wins, 11 losses, 4 overtime defeats as well. They've clearly won the Metropolitan Division. They're going to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They've acquired Mike Weber, so they got a depth defenseman from the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for a third-round pick in 2017. How active do you expect the Capitals to be on Monday? What do they need, if anything?
They probably don't need anything,
I don't think they really need anything, Izzy.
But that doesn't mean necessarily that they are completely inactive. I don't think they're going to acquire someone significant, but I don't, again, necessarily know that they don't do anything. But, I mean, you mentioned that they acquired Mike Weber, who's a depth defenseman. He probably won't be in their top six,
yeah,
but he'll be a guy that they could put in.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've got a third-round pick for him. I don't love Mike Weber, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a stay-at-home physical defenseman, Richie. But, you know, another guy they acquired, you know, who you forget about, it seems like it was so long ago, is Mike Richards. And they acquired Mike Richards.
Can I interrupt you for a sec? Sorry, yes. Mike Richards, he had his drug case stayed in court this week. Can somebody, anybody, explain to me why the Los Angeles Kings were able to get relief for Mike Richards?
No, I don't want to get into that right now. Let's stick
to... It's a separate issue altogether. I just wanted to get that off my chest. That glad for him that his court case is taken care of or whatever, but that has to be one of the more asinine rulings in the NHL as of recent times.
True. Richie's the lawyer. I've got a 147 on the LSAT, so don't ask me any legal questions. If you want to ask legal questions and you want answers, go to Richard the Hammer Pollock over here.
Go ahead.
So when you're talking about the Washington Capitals, okay, they solidify the right wing in the offseason with TJ Oshie and Justin Williams. You mentioned, Drew, I mean, they haven't lost very many games this year. Mm-hmm. They're going to win the President's Trophy. This Capitals team, starting with Braden Holtby and that defense, I mean, this is the Cup favorite right now if it's not the Blackhawks. And I know Richie picked the Capitals to win the Cup before the season, and that pick is looking really good. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to coast through the mm-hmm. entire playoffs, but you don't want to play the Capitals right now. I mean, you look at how much skill is on this team, and Alex Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom have been doing it for years now, guys. 10 years now. But then you throw in Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's leading the team in points. Have you seen some of the goals this guy has scored this year?
Amazing, yeah. Amazing.
So, I mean, it's a team right now that is so deep, it's got toughness with guys like Tom Wilson. And Mike Richards has been a good addition on the fourth line. And on defense, you know, they've had nice surprises from guys like Dmitry Orlov. And so I look at this team, and I don't know if they need to do much. And again, they might make a minor move, Rich, but that's it.
This is my only thing, Ezzy, is this Carlson injury. What's going on there? I mean, is it going to linger? If it's going to linger, they need to add a defenseman. If it's not going to linger and they're confident, then you don't think you need to add anything.
From what I've read, it isn't major.
Yeah.
So I'd expect him to be back within the next week to 2 weeks.
But they're not going to be able to replace John Carlson.
Yeah, but I mean, what you're looking at, Drew, is then who are you moving up into that spot? Is it Nate Schmidt? Is it... Orlov's already playing up there right now because he's not there. So I don't know. Is it Chorny? I mean, you don't want to put those guys in the top four.
No, you don't.
So,
no, Chorny.
I guess Orlov's up there right now. You don't want to have those. I mean, that's you'd rather have Orlov in your third pairing, move the puck and all that stuff. So ideally, you'd have somebody, Drew, competing in your top six. And if you're this close right now, you don't want to cheap out and not trade for a guy. But if Carlson's going to play, I don't think you need to make any moves.
Yeah, Taylor Chorney, they actually re-signed recently. Yeah. And he's a guy who has kind of been a journeyman defenseman, but he's done a nice job in that kind of 5-6 role.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, their top defenseman, Rich mentioned it, John Carlson's got to be healthy. He's their number one offensive defenseman. You're talking Brooks Orpik. You're talking about Carl Alzner. So, I mean, this is a really good group of defensemen. And if anything, you maybe acquire some more defensive depth. That's what Mike Weber is. I mean, he's a guy that he's insurance if you need to put him into your top six. But Dmitry Orlov, I think, is a very underrated defenseman. He's got skills on both sides of the puck. So I would expect just a depth defenseman. I don't know if they go out and they acquire somebody that they have to give up a draft pick or a high draft pick for, Drew. It'll be a minor move.
New York Rangers, they currently sit second in the Metropolitan Division. Getting a little bit long in the tooth in some of their players. You know, we talked about it with Jonas Siegel about an hour ago or so ago. Do the Rangers, do they have to go all in, given their roster makeup, given the age of some of their players? Do they have to get Eric Staal on their roster in order to try and compete with the Washington Capitals?
Yeah, I think they do. And you mentioned Eric Staal. That's the big matzo ball, right? I mean, Eric Staal...
Is he still that good?
You can say whatever... I don't think he's good as he once was, but I still think Eric Staal can be a second-line center for you. So, I mean, Derek Brassard's obviously your first-line center there, Rich.
And, do you think if they add Staal, they still are able to be Washington? I don't think with Staal they'd even be Washington.
But I still think they have to try.
Maybe.
Right? I agree with you. I don't know if Eric Staal puts them over the top. When you're talking about Ovechkin and Backstrom and Kuznetsov 1-2, that's probably your best two centers in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Brassard and Eric Staal match up against that, but I think there's the obvious connection with Mark Staal there, Drew, as I think you were kind of getting at. So I think that's what would be the obvious connection, Eric Staal and New York. And I think Jeff Gorton, he has to be looking at some of these players like Louis Erickson. I still think they might acquire another defenseman, Rich.
Well, I mean, the thing is, as you made the Yandle trade last year, you traded a lot. I know it was Glenn Saylor was involved, now it's Jeff Gorton, but you have to balance, and I appreciate the window for Henrik Lundqvist, but I don't think Staal does it for you.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying New York is going to acquire Eric Staal.
I'm just saying I could make
the argument for why they would acquire Eric Staal, but I still think they have to acquire something to complement this roster, because it's a good roster, but they've lost some speed with Carl Hagelin trading him. And, I know that the New York Rangers are pretty solid on defense as well, and they've had Henrik Lundqvist there for many years. But, you're probably going to move Keith Yandle. Do you want to acquire a defenseman to complement your...
You think they move Yandle before Monday?
I think there's a chance they do.
Rich?
I just don't... I mean, I don't love Keith Yandle. You guys have heard me on the show before. I don't think defensively he gives a lot back. I just don't see who they're replacing him with. Their defense is not good enough with him right now, is it?
That's what I'm saying. I think they try to trade him and then also acquire another defenseman.
Maybe. But I think you need a forward, too.
Yeah.
You need a top nine forward, 100%. Yeah. I mean, look at the Lions right now. I just don't think they have enough offense there. I really don't.
They've had injury problems. Rick Nash has had injury issues this year, and you've had kind of a revolving cast of they haven't had solid lines this year. I think that's what's hurt the New York Rangers compared to the year they went to the Stanley Cup Finals against the LA Kings. I think they haven't had that consistency in their forward lines, and they've had a few injuries on defense as well. Mm-hmm. But it's just not as dominant a D group as it used to be. And, Ryan McDonough's had injury issues. That's not helping. He's been their number one defenseman for years now. But you still got Mark Staal and Dan Girardi there. I mean, it's still a really good group. So I'm in agreement with Rich. I think if Jeff Gorton is serious about, winning the Stanley Cup this year, and I think they should be. I mean, they're a top team in the East. Mm-hmm. But you're going up against the Capitals. I mean, this Capitals team it's not good. It's great. So I don't know if anybody can knock them off this year.
Last one before break, the New York Islanders, they're set to meet the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. The Islanders have two big UFAs at season's end, Kyle Okposo and Franz Nielsen.
Sorry to interrupt you, Drew, but is it just me or has nobody been talking about the Islanders this year? I mean, it seems like the Islanders have just gone completely under the radar. I realize Travis Hamonic was talked about quite a bit because of his desire to come back to Winnipeg.
Down with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
But this Islanders team is going to make the playoffs.
Oh, sure.
But, you talk about Kyle Okposo. I mean, that's a pretty big UFA for them.
What do they do? What do you think the Islanders do heading into Monday?
That's an excellent question, Drew.
I mean, Garth Snow is not a...
Nielsen is more flexible and adds more to the table, I think, than Okposo does in terms of what he provides. I look at their team and have for some time and believe that they could use another defenseman. left side guy, ideally in your top four. I would say that would be one thing. I don't know if they trade Okposo, that's what I would look for. I still think they have enough depth up front to be able. And I mean, obviously, the fact that Ryan Strome's had a tough year makes it difficult for them in terms of their to produce offense and what they expected to begin with. But you look at their lines. I mean, to me, there is offense there. You can't, if you're trading Okposo, I don't mind adding a defenseman to maybe push down Thomas Hickey on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. But I think you probably still need to fill that. I know that I like their depth on forward, but I still think you want to have a guy who can score like Okposo. So basically what I'm saying there is if they move a pending UFA, I think they move him for a defenseman, and then I think they still make another move with draft picks for a forward.
I think the Islanders are going to be an active team. And you have to wonder what Garth Snow has up his sleeve here, Rich. He doesn't sign Franz Nielsen, their second-line center, or Okposo, a top winger for them. Like, what is he saving that cap room for?
Yeah, that's fair. This is a really tough situation. I mean, again, tough in the sense that there's decisions to be made here. I mean, you can't lose Nielsen and you can't lose Franz Nielsen and Okposo for nothing.
And then you know that Hamonic is probably going to be traded in the summer.
Yeah, I don't think he gets traded now. I don't think he gets traded now.
So you got to wonder what his game plan is here, because this Islanders team, I mean, with John Tavares here, I mean, the window is not closing by any stretch of the imagination, but you got to be careful what you do with Nielsen and Okposo here.
Well, that's basically two-thirds of your second line.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, why hasn't one of those guys been signed yet? I'm surprised. Maybe they're asking for too much money. I don't know.
I don't think Nielsen gets moved. He's too important to what they do. I think Okposo possibly gets moved. But a guy like Louis Erickson makes sense there, depending on what you want to give up.
We will find out by Monday at 2 o'clock. Let's head to break. When we come back, we got five more teams to talk about. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our trade deadline preview show on TSN 1290.
We're on the curve. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Well, Bruce, that's good. Mm-hmm. Saw his show, saw him a week and a half ago now.
Down in Fort Lauderdale.
Incredible.
Yeah.
66 years old, played for 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Now, was it just the river?
He played Meet Me in the City as the first song, then the entire River. Two discs. He played the entire River album.
Yeah.
And then he played another about 15, 16 songs.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's, that would have been a hell of a show.
Yeah, I think maybe 10 to 15. I don't remember exact number, but you're so into it. Yeah.
You were on cloud nine. You didn't care.
I did not care.
Last segment on this Saturday's edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I'm assuming people are driving down to Minneapolis to see him on Monday.
Is he in Minneapolis on Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Pittsburgh Penguins, gentlemen, they don't have any cap space. They probably don't have much hope of being a Stanley Cup.
Well, they have no assets to trade, so go to the next team.
Yeah. They signed Olli Määttä to a six-year, $24.4 million contract extension. Do you have any comment on the contract extension?
Well, I would assume Jacob Trouba is... the Jets would be happy about that in terms of negotiating with Jacob Trouba. But we can leave that for another show. They have nobody else to move, Drew. Everybody's signed long-term, or they've traded all their assets. So we'll go to the next team.
Okay. Then the next team on the list is the New Jersey Devils. They had been in the running. They've, fallen off a little bit. And conceivably, they're still potentially in it. Lee Stempniak and David Schlemko are their two.
Trade them all.
Just trade them all?
Trade them all.
Okay.
Schneider's giving you a chance this year. Trade them all.
Carolina Hurricanes now. This is the team that has Eric Staal, so they have the biggest ticket.
Has he waived his no trade yet?
No, certainly not. I think
today's Saturday.
Today's Saturday. Well, I don't know if they've necessarily brought him an offer.
Don't you want to talk about the no trade before the all? Don't you want to clarify that? Maybe they have. I don't know.
It sounds like he'll waive it to go to New York to play
with his other brother.
To play with his brother. He doesn't want to play against his brother. Apparently is the word. He doesn't want to play against Mark Staal in the playoffs.
Maybe like the Islanders or something like that.
Yeah, so that the Rangers would be the destination. I don't know if he's as adamant. Maybe he's okay going out west.
But he's never played
out west before. So
he's from Thunder Bay. So
I know he's from Thunder Bay, so it shouldn't be a big deal. But Eric Staal. I mean, obviously Carolina made a great run this year, and
Bill Peters has done a terrific job. There.
Exceeded everyone's expectations, but they have a
should
number.
Should he be coach of the year?
He should be in the conversation.
I don't think they need to make the playoffs for him to be coach of the year. But that's
I agree with that, Rich. I was just going to say, I think usually if you don't make the playoffs, the coach doesn't get consideration. So, I mean, I think Gerard Gallant is the front runner for the Jack Adams right now.
Yeah, you can be right
think,
about that.
I think Barry Trotz deserves a lot
yeah,
of votes, too.
Yeah, that's also too. True.
But I don't. Yeah, I think that needs to be something that's talked about more. Like, why do you have to make the playoffs? Bill Peters, I agree with Rich, former assistant with the Wings.
An amazing job.
Nobody expected the Hurricanes to be this good at this point in the season.
No, certainly not. I mean, they are, you know, conceivably, they're only, you know, they're 2 points behind Pittsburgh.
No, you trade,
again,
though. You trade all the guys.
Pittsburgh's got four games in hand.
You trade them all.
So what
and
kind
you
of market?
You need to get young players forwards back. Your defensive, you finally have totally added defensemen over the past couple of years. Jacob Slavin's a good-looking player. Noah Hanifin.
Brett Pesce.
And then you have Justin Fox, only 23 years old.
Pesci.
I mean, I know you have other guys like maybe Ryan Murphy or Hayden Fleury. Whether they turn into what you want, you don't know. But they need forwards and they need young forwards. You trade Stahl, you trade Versteeg if you can, you trade Gerby if you can, you trade Nash, trade them all.
Trading John Michael Lyles. Is there a market for Cam Ward?
I don't know if there's a market for Cam Ward today, but I've always thought that he's going to sign in Calgary in the offseason. From Alberta.
Well, that would make sense because the Flames are certainly need a goaltender.
I don't think he gets moved before then, only because who has a big enough need to take on that cap hit? $6.3 million.
Nobody. And then why would the Flames trade an asset for him if they,
yeah,
think
that's what
they
I mean.
Can
yeah.
re-sign him
exactly.
for... I mean, the Flames have no interest in getting better right at this point
no,
in the season.
No.
So, I mean, the Hurricanes should be an interesting team in that they do have the assets to make some trades and, you know, continue to fine-tune what'll be a very young roster, but we'll have a lot of talent on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they probably need some more forward talent.
They do.
At this
they
point
need a lot more forward talent.
And that, but like you said, they addressed their defense.
Absolutely. Over the past number of years, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be something that you can certainly look to see there. Ez, what do you think? Is Eric Stahl, if he goes, do you think he's going to the Rangers?
It makes sense, as you mentioned last segment, for him to go play with his brother, but I don't think there are any shortage of destinations for Eric Stahl, just because of, you know, his pedigree. And even though he might not be that 100-point player that he was, you know, seven, right. 8 years ago, it's still a guy that if you're looking, you know, for a solid second, maybe even third line center, I think Eric Stahl makes sense for a lot of teams, possibly as a rental or as a guy that you want to sign after. So, again, yeah, the Rangers make sense, but, you know, I think I can make an argument for 20 other teams.
Philadelphia Flyers. They're one other team in the Metropolitan Division that are clearly out of it. They have three pending UFAs in Sam Gagne. Michael Raffel is also a pending UFA.
And I'll stop you right there, Drew.
Okay.
Philly has, I think Ron Hextall's done an excellent job there unloading some contracts, whether that's Vincent LeCavalier, whether that was McDonald before the season started. That was a terrible contract.
Well, didn't they just bury Andrew McDonald?
Well, that's what they did, but yeah. I'm just saying that he's done an excellent job with getting rid of some of those terrible contracts. I mean, Paul Holmgren towards the end there was doing a pretty poor job.
McDonald's up right now, though, guys.
Yeah, McDonald's up right now, but he was down in the in the A for a lot of the season. What about Gagne and Raffel?
Well, I mean, Gagne, you got to retain salary, but as far as I'm concerned, they can't retain any more salary because they have those three guys already retained, Grossman, LeCavalier, and Shen.
Yeah, but why do you have to retain salary? Is UFA at season's end?
$3.2 million for Sam Gagne? Who's taking that cap hit on?
Nobody, probably.
Nobody. Raffle's what you're going to get in long as long as you don't over-ask. He'll move. If they can't sign him, Raffel will go somewhere.
And what can you get? You know, what's an over-ask in this instance? I mean,
I bet you they're starting off with probably asking for... He's 27 years old. He's pretty young. Probably asking for a second and a third or 2 seconds or something. So I think if they lower an asking price, he'll probably move.
Has he?
Sam Gagne seems like the most logical candidate to be traded to a team that, you know, is kind of looking for that you know, third, fourth-line guy to kind of complement... their bottom scoring. Raffel as well. You know, Raffel had the good season last year playing with Voracek and Giroux, but I don't know how active Philly will be just because they've been fairly active throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's been a bit of a disappointing year for them. I don't know if they necessarily expected, you know, to be in the playoffs this year. They were trying to get in the playoffs. I just think they're still struggling to fill out their bottom six forwards and their D. It's been better. I mean, Shane Gostisbehere should be a Calder candidate this year, and he's been a revelation for Philly. So I'd probably say Gagne and Raffel. I'd agree those guys are highly likely to be moved.
Last team, the Columbus Blue Jackets. They don't have any real pending UFAs there of any interest. Is there anybody there off their active roster that they're going to be able to, you know, I'm sure they'd love to get out of Hartnell or Tootin, but is anybody going to take either of those contracts?
Well, if you're getting rid of Hartnell, then you're going to take back a salary. So it depends on what you like about the salary. They got a bunch of guys locked up to money that's to overpays, right? So If you go to Columbus, you get paid, whether or not you deserve it. So, Drew, I don't see them. I don't see anybody taking on any of their long-term deals, and I don't really see anybody taking Rene Bork's pending UFA. So, I don't see Columbus being overly active.
That's it for this Saturday morning and the Illegal Curve trade deadline preview show. Big thank you to Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press for joining us on the program. In case you missed anything today, it's available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, IllegalCurve.com. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Riverview Health Center Foundation, Cycle on Life, Keener Jerseys, and the Rady JCC Sports Dinner. Big thanks to producer Rory for his great job, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.